is the Welcome to Fatherhood Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Kelly, and I'm here to remind you, however you're listening and wherever you're listening, that as dads, we're just like moms. Except we're dads. Ha ha! All right, my guy, why don't you go ahead and start by introducing yourself?
Hi, my name is Darrell Mack, and I went to college with Kelly. I've got two boys, a four-year-old and a two-year-old. And yeah, parenting is a challenge. It's hard.
What's been your parenting journey like? Take me to the early phases of your first son, then the introduction of your second son. What has been that journey like?
It's been eventful, man. Like it's every day you're learning something new, and you're learning like, oh, this is not easy. This is not like what you see on TV. They make it look like so easy, and like nobody ever really tells you actually how challenging and frustrating parenting can be before you have your child. Like there is a lot of like not sleeping, so So you're not eating right, you're gaining weight, and like you get frustrated a little easy. You got to learn to like step back and breathe. And I don't think parents do that enough. Like they let the frustration of the kid build, and they just don't take a step back and breathe. But what I'm learning is like you have to go and be an example of your child to show how you deal with frustration. So like, if you're being frustrated, you got to just go to your son and be like, or daughter and be like, I'm frustrated. Daddy needs a break. I'll come back and we can re-engage in the moment. But in the moment, it's you forget that. Like sometimes you're like, get to sit down. Like, why are you doing that? But like, you know, you gotta be like, no, calm. Like, I gotta calm myself down and step back. Like, especially like if you've grown up in a Black household, like your parents just like yelled at you and got the belt and was just like, yo, but that's not like a good example of parenting. Like, because you're teaching your kids that other people control your emotions. Instead of you are in control of your emotions. And like, I think that is an important lesson to give to anybody, is you are in control of your emotions. And it is you who has to be in control all the time.
Man, that is really well said. Take me into your household growing up and your perception of what your dynamic with your parents was like, not from the perspective of being a father of two boys yourself.
Yeah. So I grew up in a single parent household. So my parents got divorced when I was like two or three or something like that. So I spent most of my time with my mom, and like, she grew up basically in a single parent household where she spent most of her time with her mom, but her mom had to work a lot. And her mom would yell at her all the time, and that got translated into her parenting style. So she was like a yeller. I'm trying to break that cycle and not do that. And you are a product of your environment, and you inherit your parenting style from your parents. So, but I don't want to continue that. So I've been actively trying not to, and like I take parenting classes. I've been reading books, and then my dad, he used to spank me when I was a little kid. But one day, and I appreciate this, and I think about it often, I think I was like about 10. He's like, I'm not going to spank you anymore. You're old enough to where we can have a conversation and you can understand why you shouldn't be doing these things. I never got spanked after that. And like, I appreciated that so much. So I don't even want to spank my kids. I want to be able to, like I said earlier, educate them into like, this is what you're doing. You're not in control of your emotions now. We need to re-engage and think about how we can solve this. And like the parenting class has been super helpful in trying to think about like how do you praise kids to incentivize them to focus on only like the good behavior, mm-hmm. and when they are not acting in the way that you want them to or following directions, like how do you correct that behavior without yelling and, you know, without getting too emotional or, you know, reinforcing the negative aspects of their behavior.
I'm curious, how has your perspective of your mom changed or been influenced by all the education that you now have as a father, your perspective as a dad, good, bad, or indifferent, given that you understand the way that she raised you was a result of the way that she was raised, but inevitably that also has like an effect on you as the child, right? And so now you've grown up and you've learned a lot, you're a parent. How has that perception of that time period in your life changed?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate all the things that my mother did for me growing up. I mean, she was a single mother trying to raise a kid. And I understand why her parenting style was the way it was. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I can accept that as that behavior. So I know I, as a father, don't want to parent that way. But I understand why she was that way and like why it was, you know, why that was her parenting style. Cause my mom would work and my grandmother would watch me for a long time and she would just yell at me all the time. Like, I would just be chilling and I'd just be getting yelled at. I'd be like, what is going on here? She would chase me around the house with her shoes. So my grandmother was like this little itty bitty Japanese woman, but she was fierce. She had a temper. So like, yeah, I get why my mom was like this the way she is. But yeah, that cycle has to be broken. I can't be chasing my kids around the house with shoes and yelling at them all the time.
Aside from the typical stuff that people kind of stumble upon once you become a parent, the no sleeping, you know, the dealing with how everything changes, what has been another area or other areas where you've experienced a lot of frustration?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure my oldest son has ADD. We don't know that yet for sure because he's still too young to get formally diagnosed. So with that, comes the inability to sit still and focus on anything. Mm-hmm. So for example, it'd be like, okay, sit down and eat dinner. And he'll be like, all over the place, food's flying everywhere. So like just this morning, like he was eating and he was getting riled up and like, he spit food on the floor. It's like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And so like those types of frustrations a little bit every single day, it starts to build and you're like, yo, do you want to live today? Is this the day you get taken out? Come on, man, work with me here.
Yeah. No, but you know what? I appreciate that you say that and you acknowledge that, because there has been times when I ask my son the same question, like, homie, is this the day that you stop living, you know, because we do get frustrated, right? For whatever reasons, you suspect your son may have ADD. There's also a component of that's just their developmental state. So you just kind of have to roll with the punches, but that still doesn't negate that you on the receiving end of that, it's frustrating to you.
Right.
And so to not acknowledge that can also lead to more built up frustration that eventually causes you to respond in a way that will eventually be more harmful than good in terms of your relationship with your kid. So I'm glad that you acknowledge that. So when you find yourself in those moments where you're like, bruh, what kind of things do you do? Or maybe what kind of things does your wife help you to realize for you to be able to step out of that and just sort of back away and handle it in better terms?
Yeah. Just so I don't get in trouble with like the authorities. I never say I'm gonna kill him.
No.
This is all an internal process.
No child has been harmed in the making of this podcast.
Yes, exactly. No, but so like it can be in a few different ways. Sometimes I just like have to step back and be like, okay, how can I channel this energy into a positive way? So for example, if I want him to go upstairs and brush his teeth, I'll be like, and he's not doing it. He's like doing other things, not listening. I'm like, I'm going to beat you upstairs and I'm going to be faster than you. I got jet legs. You got stinky legs. You're not going to beat me. And like, we turn it into a game. So like, that's one way. Or my wife will be like, you're getting agitated. You need to leave. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to take over. And like, that's something we'll do. Or I'll have to think about, did I give too many commands so that he doesn't actually really understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So for example, I'd be like, go upstairs and put on your clothes so we can go to bed. And then he'll just like not listen. I'm like, okay, let me think about how I asked him that. Can you please go upstairs? And then, okay, then he'll go upstairs after that. Okay, now, can you please take your pants off? And then he'll take his pants off. And then, okay, now please take your shirt off. Now please take your underwear off. Now please put on your pajama pants. So it's like you got to break down the steps individually and just like focus on that. And also like I got to not be frustrated also. So like make sure and I say please and giving the command. And make sure and I'm not asking a question as well. Because like the questions will turn into why? Why you wanted me to do this?
Yeah.
Why? Like, no. This is a command, not a question. Like, focusing on that. Like, this is not a negotiation we're having right now. We're just doing this, you know? And then also, like, it's the things that you do beforehand that are important. So this is what I got from, like, the parent coach is, like, every day I spend 5 minutes, or I try to every day, like, as much as possible, spend 5 minutes just with him, not both kids, and just praising him. So I praise him. I describe what he's doing. I reflect back what he's doing. I copy what he's doing. And I like make sure it's enjoyable for the both of us. Mm-hmm. And it's in those interactions and that praise that you build up a bank of positivity that you can, you know, carry forward when you are trying to do the commands, or you might get a little bit frustrated. So he knows like we're into this together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love him and like, I when you do good things, I'm going to praise you. And I make sure, like, when he does follow the command, like, when I say go upstairs, oh, thank you for coming upstairs with me.
Yeah, that was
amazing. You followed my directions. Or, oh, you put your pants on so fast. That was so good. Like, just making sure that, you know, every time I give him a command and he does it, he gets the praise and appreciation for doing it. So, like, that's a thing I've been working on a lot lately.
When you reflect on your experience as a child and the experience that you're crafting for your children, what sort of thoughts, feelings are evoked in you if you ever reflect on that?
I do. I like, wow, like my relationship, particularly with my mother, would probably be better if like she had these tools for her. Because even as an adult, she still yells at me. Like, I'm an adult and you're yelling and cursing at me?
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay.
That's not
like,
okay.
That's not okay. So I think about that a lot. It's like, if I want to have a better relationship with my kids and like for the long term, this is all important. Like, I have to do these things. I can't be frustrated and yelling at them. I got to show them, like, when you're frustrated, you can't be yelling at people. Like, mm-hmm. you got to take a breath and step away. So, like, some of my proudest moments as a father have been when my son was like, Daddy, I'm upset. Can we do some deep breaths?
Oh, wow.
We do some deep breaths together and he calms down. Like that, that was so.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was like, yes, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're going in the right direction.
Oh, man, that is beautiful. I'm currently trying to steer the ship in that direction with my son. He is going to be 2 years old at the end of May. And he's at a point right now where changing his diaper is a meltdown. Putting on his PJs is a meltdown. Putting on his coat in the morning is a meltdown. And when he melts down, he's just like throws himself on the floor and all of that jazz. So I've been encouraging my wife, you know what? If we feed into this, he's going to think that this is okay. And he's going to, we're reinforcing that type of behavior. So I'm just like, we're just going to walk away. And when we start walking away, then he picks up his head and is like, oh, shoot, they're really about to leave me here on this floor. You know what I mean? And then I talk to him to make sure he understands that that type of behavior does not please daddy at all. And I'm starting to see that the wheels are turning in his head and he is slowly. I mean, this is like slowly, painfully slowly getting it. But again, he's about to be 2 years old. Right. So I can't expect him to wake up one day and be like, I'm not going to melt down anymore. That's not going to happen.
How verbal is your 2 year old?
Bro, he is like, he is talking, homie. He is talking like this week alone on three separate occasions. He said words that I didn't even know he knew. And I was like, I looked at my wife. I was like, did I just hear that? Or did he actually say that? And she was like, yeah. So we've been reading books to him ever since he was baby, like 3 months. Starting at 3 months, we've been reading to him. When I took off 3 months from work, when he was three and a half-ish, every day I kept him on the same routine. Wake up, we play a little bit, we read a series of books, he goes down for a nap, he wakes up, we feed him, read some more books, down for a nap, and then so the book reading has remained and we talked to him. Me and my wife, we made it a point to talk to him with real adult words, not that baby gibberish.
Right.
And now we're seeing the payoffs, bro, because he is just like talking to the point that some days I'm like, dude, just shut up. Like you are just talking too much. Yeah. But yeah, he's putting phrases together and now he's at the phase where he's starting to put full sentences together. And it's been very fascinating, very enjoyable, very surprising at times just to hear him say the things that he knows how to say. I don't even know where he picks these words up from, to be honest with you.
They're sponges.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. You don't need advice from me, but I do have some suggestions for you.
Yeah. Oh, shoot, bro.
So my oldest son is very verbal at a young age too. And my youngest is like not far behind yours. He turns two in June. But the thing that you have to remember is like, even though they're really verbal, it's still deceptive, like on what they can understand. They understand a lot, but like it's cognitively deceptive because you think like, oh, they can say all these words, so they must understand everything that I'm saying to them. That's not the case. It's not the case at all. You think they understand, but they don't.
Yeah.
So like sometimes like you just got to break it down into like smaller bite-sized steps.
Yeah.
Even at two, they may not even still comprehend. Cause like sometimes I'm surprised, like my 2 year old I'll be like, go get the shoes, and he'll go get the shoes.
Yeah,
and
bro.
And be ready to go. Like, oh, okay. Like your older brother don't even do that. So, but like, yeah, if they're throwing tantrums, like I have two suggestions. One is like, you got to just ignore it and walk away. Cause every time they do that and you give them that attention, you're reinforcing that negative behavior.
100%.
That's all they want is the attention.
100%.
That's why they're doing it.
Yes.
Like for that attention. And then like if you're really in a hurry and like you need to change a diaper, tickle them. Like blow on their bellies, tickle them, and like get a toy in their hand and like get them focused on something else. And like that saves it every time. So my go-to for my 2-year-old when he doesn't want his diaper changed is like I tickle him and blow on his belly till he lays down. Or I put a toy in his hand, or I put food in his mouth. Like those things make it work.
Listen, you are speaking gospel right now, bro.
Makes it work.
My son loves to eat. He loves to eat. That kid could eat every day, every second of the day. He loves to eat. So in the mornings, when he wakes up in a bad mood, the trick is, cool, he's in a bad mood. Before I even want to tell him, hey, daddy got to change your diaper. It's like, you know what? Let's go downstairs to get a squeeze, which is like a little, like applesauce pouches or whatever. He calls those squeezes. So I'm like, let's go downstairs. Let's get a squeeze. And he's like, squeeze? Yeah, bro. Let's go get a squeeze. Get a squeeze in his hands. Listen, I could bathe him. I could shave his, like it would be absolutely okay, because he got a squeeze in his hands. So we're learning those little tricks. And those tricks, believe it or not, and I know you believe it, they're so important to know and share. Because it's those little things that can really prevent you as the parent from blowing up in the way that we were talking about not too long ago. Right?
Because like, you need to do the things that are going to help you long term.
Yes.
So that frustration doesn't build up in you explode eventually.
Yes.
Because that's what happens. It's like you don't realize it, but it's like these tiny cuts over and over till you're like, yo,
like I'm about to mollywop you, bro.
and it happens even in your marital relationships. It's like it's not like one thing that causes you to blow up. It's like all these things that build up, and it's like, yo,
yeah,
yo, you like let's not do this. Let's address them early.
Nah, dude, 100%. And it's also important, I think, to say that early on in the process, especially when you're dealing with a newborn, these things might not seem relevant because in some way, shapes, or form, like they don't necessarily apply to that early phase. So it will take a while for you to learn those little tricks, what works for you, how your child responds, learning the things that really make them go so that you can play into those things and use those things to your advantage in those moments where they're just, you know, tantruming or they're just moody for whatever reason. And we all, come on, man, we, even as adults, we don't have it together. We don't have it all figured out. They're trying to figure it out. And I remember a friend of mine, I had him on here and he was talking about his daughter, his youngest daughter, learning how to identify more of her feelings as she was growing. And then like you were, to the point that you were saying, even though she was talking a lot, but understanding how to process those things. That's why we as adults, we go to therapy. We don't even know how to process our feelings.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah, it's so helpful because like when my son's like, oh, I'm feeling frustrated or I'm feeling sad or Baba, you scared me. Like that's so helpful for you as the parent to know like how they feel. And like you got to teach them how to internalize and understand their feelings.
Yeah.
So like, it helps you and it helps them.
Yeah. What is it like looking at the interaction between big brother and little brother?
Oh man, like, so this is like, somebody told me about this, like who coaches football, but what you emphasize is, once you emphasize is what they retain. So like if you emphasize him being like a good brother and taking care of his brother and getting along, that's what he'll do. So like, that's been our main focus in like praising whenever they're getting along. So like they have a very good relationship. They don't fight as much as I thought they would. Now every now and then they'll be after the same toy, or like one, like, because the 2 year old wants whatever the 4 year old wants,
for sure.
Like, for sure, he just wants whatever his big brother had.
Yeah,
and then sometimes it's the opposite way.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, he's so loving. Like, they hold each other. He'll hold each other's hand while they walk home from school. He'll give his brother a hug and a kiss. Now, like, he still goes crazy and bites his brother sometimes, but like, that's just stuff.
They wouldn't be brothers if that didn't happen, right?
Right, exactly. If they weren't fighting, they wouldn't be brothers. But like, it's been good, like, because we have just been emphasizing since the beginning, like, the positive and that loving connection. And like, the oldest will be like, oh, he's my best friend. And you can tell the youngest admires his older brother.
Yeah.
Like, whatever older brother does, he does.
Man.
Elder brother starts dancing, he starts dancing. Elder brother starts doing cartwheels, he's spinning on the floor. So, yeah.
That's dope. Dude, from a legacy standpoint, I know I can't be the only one who looks out at my son and I'm thinking, like, I made this. You know what I mean? Like, this is me. When I'm gone, like, this, he is going to be, like, who carries on my legacy. From a legacy standpoint, do you find yourself having those moments? Like, how do you process those moments when you look at your two boys?
I don't really think about him as my legacy, to be honest.
Okay.
Like, largely because, like, I just want him to be the best he can be. He can be, mm-hmm. like, what he can be. Like, so I don't really think about the legacy. I just want him to be happy in life and be able to live to his full potential, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, I'm like, oh, you came out of my balls.
Yeah.
Why do I face it when I say that?
I say the same thing, bro.
But yeah, no, it's like incredible. It's like, oh, it's what I am in. I was like, I am responsible for the both of you and your well-being. I can't believe I'm barely responsible for myself.
Fat bro.
I can barely get my own butt out of the bed each morning. I got to get yours.
Yeah.
And your mom's and everybody's out of the bed in the morning. Like, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what I'm referring to mostly. So maybe legacy is not the right word, but just like those type of moments where you realize I'm responsible for you. Like, how is that even possible?
How is that possible? How am I a dad right now?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, what happened in this universe? But I feel lucky and blessed at the same time. It's like, yo, so I went on a business trip this week, and like, when I came home, my son just ran up to me and gave me the biggest hug. He's like, Papa, I missed you.
Oh man.
And like, it's like, oh,
yeah.
On my heart, man.
Yeah.
On my heart.
Yeah.
And then my youngest, like, every morning, almost, like, because he comes into the bed with us about 5 a.m, and he rolls over and yells in my face, Baba! And gives me a big smile. Yeah. It makes my morning every time. That big old smile that he gives me.
Did you always know you wanted to be a dad?
It's funny, when I was younger, like, so around college age, I always said, yeah, I want to be a dad. I want to have 4 kids. And I wanted to have like a relatively big family, but around like in my 30s, I was like, man, I don't want kids.
Yeah.
I'm selfish. I want to just do me. And then, you know, the oldest came into my life and like, yeah, I can do the kid thing.
Mm.
This is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This
yeah.
is hard. Cause I love to sleep. When you got young kids, you don't get to sleep.
You don't know, bro. Like, that's how the gone. Door. Yep.
It's like, for a long time. Apparently for 18 years is what people tell me. So, yeah. So, like, that transition has been hard, like, not sleeping and learning how to, like, wake up and make sure they get going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you always want to be a dad?
Man, I did. I did. Okay. I always wanted to be a dad. There was a point where I realized, or where I thought, I don't think this fatherhood thing is going to happen for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so just a whole lot of insecurities and a whole lot of, and just watching all my friends get married, watching all my friends have kids, just watching people do the very things that I wanted to do. And I never wanted to have children outside of being married. Like, that was just not something that a route that I wanted to take. Because I've been impacted by an unstable home. And so I didn't want to create a life and then expose that life to an unstable home. So I don't know, man. It, sometime between like 25 and early 30s, I was like, I don't think this is going to happen for me. And then it clearly happened for me. And when it did, I was just like, holy crap, like, it's happening to me now. So that's why, me personally, I've been in this state of just awe and wonder at the fact that when I wake up in the morning, part of my identity is I'm a father to this kid that I'm going to go wake up. You know what I mean? Like, that's not all of me, but damn, bro, like, I love this part of me. So just seeing myself in that role, I'm like, yo, I like this version of Kelly. You know what I mean? Like, I could jive with this version of Kels. Like, I'm okay with that. Yeah, it's been really cool, man. It's been really cool.
Yeah, for me, some days are more frustrating than others. It's like, oh man, this was not a good parenting day.
Facts. I mean, bro. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, bro. We'll be right back.